Hello, and welcome to episode 427 of The Cult of Tea and Dice, and I'm going to be the person what does the thing with the mouth that makes all the world occur for Frost Vikings again. Yes, we're doing a lot of Frost Vikings at the moment. This is because we keep having people who are away, and I don't have the mental capacity for creating anything complicated at the moment, so I'm just going to throw random shit at the wall and see what sticks. And the random shit that I threw at the wall today actually was generated for us by an artificial intelligence. I typed into its website, what supernatural foe are the Frost Vikings going to fight? And it told me. And then I asked them how it was going to fight them, and it told me. And then I asked them, what sort of preparations the supernatural creature had, or where did it live? And it told me. And so basically, if this is shit, we can all blame artificial intelligence, and it will go to prove that you can't replace GMs yet. So anyway, without further ado, Archive, who are you and what are you playing?
I'm Archive. I'm playing Bolla Ragged Daughter, who is a frosty Viking mage.
A frosty Viking mage. Who frosty magics early and frosty magics often, as I remember it. Then we'll go to
that is indeed one of her aspects.
Blooded.
I am Bloodied, and I am playing Horolf, who is a charming roguish bard.
You're playing Anyway, and then finally we come to you, Loka.
I'm Loka Centaurus, and I will be playing Lars Feldrickson, the nutcase with knives.
He is also a knife porcupine.
And equipped with drumroll stabbing.
Drumroll stabbing! So, the Frost Vikings are recently victorious in their fight against the troll, who was trying to eat Bestla, the best cow. What have the Frost Vikings been up to since then? What sort of thing have you been doing?
I mean, we got mead as part of our reward, so probably drinking.
Mead and gold, I believe, was what Trognison gave you.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'd probably be taking our mead and gold and going on adventures.
I mean, in that case, what I'd like to know is what sort of small-scale adventures have you been doing tidying yourselves over while you look for another big score? So let's start with you, Blooded. What small adventure did you lead the Frost Vikings to?
Well, I led the Frost Vikings to the International Viking Singing Competition.
I see. And how did that go?
Unfortunately, we came last with nilpois because everyone tactically voted against us. And not just because we were shit.
Well, I mean, that does seem to be quite a shame. And then I'm guessing you probably went off to an adventure that Loka found. What mini-adventure did you take them all on, Loka?
I mean, once you've taken down a troll of that magnitude, you want to sort of warm down with a smaller scale sort of thing. So we went for some bandits, you know, slight dish that they are. There was... desperately tries to think of Norse mythology. Some smaller beasties that didn't really last long enough to get names, but, you know, nothing above stabbing range.
Right, so maybe a bunch of bandity spart elves, that sort of affair.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
So some spart elf aperitif next big adventure. Now,
Gotta keep the knives sharp somehow.
That's true. Bolla, you thought you'd found your next big adventure, but it turned out to be another little adventure. What was that adventure?
Ah, well, basically, because we had some gold, Bolla thought it'd be a brilliant idea. Well, we've got some gold, we've got some mead, but surely there's some better mead, and maybe with the gold we can find some better mead.
Right.
So that was really her plan. Unfortunately, it did go a little bit awry, because they didn't actually find mead. They found some honey, and the honey was being guarded by some bears.
Bears.
And she didn't really want to deal with bears again. So, after the bears last time, it was just like, let's not deal with the bears. So instead, they went to the pub and found some ale.
Fair enough. So you have been sort of waiting to see what your next big score would be, and you were exceedingly gratified when a herald came to find. Now, this herald probably finds you in a tavern, because you, as you just said, you just went and found some ale. And so you're all sat one corner of the tavern. It's a pretty standard Viking tavern. So there's people throwing axes at one random woman who's got 9 pigtails for some reason and trying to sever the pigtails. She's only been hit in the face with an axe once, and luckily it was the handle. There's a couple of really big, beefy, blonde guys over in one corner who are trying to arm wrestle each other, and so far they seem to have been, like, grunting and groaning while holding hands for about an hour. You're starting to wonder whether they're actually, like, a couple, and they're just having, like, a really angry hand-holding session. Over in another corner, you've got where all the ale is. It's not great. I'll be quite honest with you. The ale is pretty shitty here. Then you've got the darkened corner where the quest givers sit. Currently, there are 3 different shandy-looking guys trying to share a table there, which is kind of ruining the effect. At least one of them is sat on one of the other's knees at the moment. And this herald comes in, and he looks around, and he obviously clocks you 3. Viv has gone to the bathroom. And he sort of stands there, doing the whole, "You can see me! You can check out if I'm a mistwraith or something!" And he's looking at you, and you're looking at him.
There's one of those weirdos that keeps looking at us over there. Should we stare?
We could just kill him.
I mean, it's bad form to start the fight unless you've, like, been insulted or something. But he's being creepy.
Yeah, I mean, that's not cool.
We could just ask him.
To stop staring at us.
No, we could ask him why he's staring at us. I'm sure he has a reason.
Chap's about 5'9", 5'10", long blonde hair that tumbles over his shoulders, grey cloak, grey fur mantle. Quite a nice looking sword on one hip, a little tiny axe on the other hip, got some kind of musical instrument over one shoulder, and he's obviously waiting.
Bolo will sort of give him a nod and raise her cup of not particularly great ale.
He receives your nod and gives you a nod and a smile and looks around himself, slightly panicked, wanders over to the bar, buys an ale, comes back to exactly where he was standing before, and repeats the nod and the smile, and then raises his cup. Then gives you a sort of a little head nudge kind of affair. As if to say, shall I come over?
It's a strange man.
I mean, he seems receptive to conversation.
I'll give him a shrug, and he can decide what to do with that.
He receives your shrug.
This is so British.
I'm actually ripping off part of the 13th Warrior. And he receives your shrug and seems to think for a moment. And then he does a sort of one-shoulder shrug with a hand out towards you, sort of a hand moving towards you gesture, and then waggles his eyebrows.
Hey, that's my move.
Did you say that, or did you emote that in some fashion using a part of your body?
No, I just said that.
I was hoping it would be some sort of secret bard language.
He was like, may I approach?
Yes, yes, let's do that.
Okay. He comes, he sits down. Hello, are you...
is it with the shadowy corner?
I think they're quest givers. Although I do think that those two are definitely sitting on each other's laps. Anyway.
That's impressive.
Are you the band of warriors known as the Frost Viking?
Have you been giving us names again?
Did you say Frost Vikings?
Yes, Frost Vikings.
Ah, right, okay, yes, that's us.
Ah, excellent. I've been sent to find the Frost Vikings.
Have you named us, Rob? Is this your doing?
No. Twogwifson told us that you were called the Frost Vikings. Anyway, I should introduce myself. I'm Reginald the Bard.
Nice to meet you, Reginald.
And I've been sent to find you by my lord, who wishes to see if you want to deal with a problem.
I mean, I think it would depend on the kind of problem.
Well,
and the kind of pay scale.
He's asked me to gather many different heroes, but I can say that the pay scale will be considerably better than what you were offered by Twogtwogwithen. So, my lord is Wagnar. He is also known as Wagnar the Waging. He's a lord.
Lars has a very carefully still face at this point.
Mm-hmm. So yes, my lord is called Wagnar the Raging. He's a relatively witch lord up in the north. He is offering, rather than just mead and gold, as Twogtwogwithen offered, he is offering mead, gold, cheese, and a little bit of land. So, if you are indeed the Frost Viking, I've been asked if you'd like to walk up and maybe hear about the offer and see if you're up to the task.
I mean, sure, we haven't got anything else going on at the moment.
I have to say, you three, well, technically I thought there were four of you, but you three were indeed my pick of the crop. You're the ones I think are going to do the job just right.
Oh, I mean, Viv's just in the loose.
Excellent. Well, make sure you get there in time.
Where?
Oh, to the north. Wagnar's. Don't worry, it's only a couple of days to the north. If you set off, like, tomorrow morning, you'll make it. There will be some other heroes, just so you know.
Well, I wonder if that big sworded bloke is going to ruin a table.
Boning? Again. You mean Boning the Barbarian?
Quite possibly.
Oh, yes, I've already spoken to Boning. We had a lovely tête-à-tête.
Did he destroy a table?
He did have a table with him, though. I'm very confused.
Was it attached to his sword?
Yes. He said it's his sword table.
He's still not gotten it out, then.
Yeah, he said it was a sword table and that it was lucky.
Uh-huh. Sure it was.
He has added, like, things to the outside of the table to make it more sparkle and dangerous. So, yes, I will see you in Wagnar the Waging's halls in a couple of days, then. Now, I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave, because if I stay here any longer, I might have to drink some of this absolute horrible ale. And with that, Reginald the Bard...
I'm going to make sure I grab his ale.
You do. It really is fucking disgusting. So, there's a slight problem when you come to leave in the morning, which is Viv has decided that she wants a lie-in. And by a lie-in, and by decided, I mean that she has drunk herself into a stupor and is impossible to wake. So you're going to have to leave her behind.
We'll leave her a note.
Mm-hmm. Which will be great if she can find someone to read it to her.
She'll find someone. She's resourceful.
Mm-hmm. And angry and covered in an axe.
Exactly. Resourceful. Her resources make people do her bidding.
Yes, pretty much. The fact that and her forceful hacking style. She's never met a problem. You can't forcefully hack someone until they make the problem goes away. So you head to the north. It takes you about 2 days, and you come to a big hall. Trogvason's hall was not very wide, but it was very tall. This hall is both big and wide. It has many high roofs. They're covered in thatch, just in case you want to jam yourself in there violently for no good. You don't see any really great cows about the place. Which is a little bit of a shame. You are all missing Bessler at this point. But you do see a lot of mud farmers. It seems like this whole region's economy is based on farming mud, growing mud, making more mud, and then occasionally throwing the mud from one place to another. You're not sure if they do anything with crops at all, but there's definitely mud. Loads and loads and loads of mud. The hall is sort of a made out of pale wood, whitewashed walls, very pretty, up some big steps. When you get there, Reginald the Bard has
standing by the door, and he just waves you in. Come in, come in. We're about to begin. So the Lord will come forth and try and explain our predicament, as it were. Feel free to ask questions, but I would suggest be very polite. Do that without plosiving. I would suggest you be very polite, because Wagnar the Waging is called Wagnar the Waging. He does, in fact, wage. Please go inside. There's a couple of other people there already, and we'll see which of you is up to the task. You head inside. It's a really nice hall. It's got three rows of tables. So there's two places where you can sit down and use somebody else as the back of your chair. Less fireplaces than the last one. In fact, weirdly, none of the fireplaces are even lit, so it's pretty cold in here. There are candles running down the roof. The first person you see, obviously, is Boning the Barbarian. He's standing next to his table sword with another serving wench feeding him food. Because, again, he's actually gotten slightly bigger and greener and veinier, which is a bit weird. He kind of looks like, you know his pecs. So his pecs have got all these, like, green veins in them now. And they, like, throb and occasionally wiggle, seemingly without him doing anything. And he does look a lot more muscly. He's got a few scars on his shoulders and around said pectorals as well. So you're not really sure what's going on there. In terms of his general look, he still looks like a man made out of meat. You're fairly certain he's going to have trouble hearing you, though, because his neck muscles are starting to encroach on his ears. So he might be deaf now. He still does have the big table, but he seems to have nailed sharp bits of metal to the edge of the table. No dogs around this time, so he hasn't got a pile of unconscious dogs behind him. Over in the other corner, completely fast asleep, is an old man with a spear. He seems to have come lured by the promises of tracts of land. And then, about halfway down, you can see one other, quote marks, hero. This person is unusual. Long, white beard, black robes, bells, whistles, skulls, bones, more skulls, raven feathers, bones and whistles. Seems to be some form of wizard.
Is he pondering an orb?
No. He's currently trying to untaffle one of his skulls from the table. It seems to have wrapped around it. He's managed to tie himself to the table with one of his skulls. So he's very slowly passing the skull round and round and round the table leg to untaffle it. But yeah, he's covered in bones and feathers and skulls, bones, other skulls, little skulls and big skulls. They mostly seem to be animals. The one that's wrapped around the table is a human skull, but the rest of the skulls are mostly animals. At the far end... Go on.
Just at this moment, Bola's just thinking of herself, this is the region to learn good, honest magery. None of this wizardry tat.
I mean, certainly he doesn't look like a wizard. There's not, like, moons and stars on his robe. It's all, like, feathers and bones and skulls and bones and feathers and stuff.
Far too mystic.
So, at the far end of the hall, there's a raised dais with the Lord's table on it. And there seems to be a very large man asleep in a chair. He's big, very, very big. He's not quite boning big, but he's pretty damn big. Big shoulders, big wide shoulders, long arms, one arm grasping an axe that seems to have been stuck into the table. The other arm has got, like, a spiked gauntlet on it. Seems to have been riveted to his arm, which, not certain how good an idea that is, but never mind. Very squarish face, completely bald head, covered in all these, like, you know the hash marks people do when they're counting to five? His whole head is covered in those. One big scar down his left eye, one big scar down his right eye. In fact, he's basically... His face seems to have been slightly bisected. A little grey beard that just comes down to a... You take that to be the law. And Reginald the Bard walks in, looks around, goes back outside, checks the sundial, comes back inside and goes, Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the time has been called. So now I will pass you over to my lord, to your patron, Wagner the Waging.
He's literally, he's clapping and he's looking at you all. And Boning's staring at him like, what do you want? I don't understand. And the guy who looks magical is still untaffling himself. And he's like, okay then, over to you, my lord. The lord wakes up. And you all think for just one moment, oh shit, nah, fucking again. What is it with these lords and the inability to fucking speak? And then he stands up and goes, hello! I am the lord of this hall. And for a long time, I was a berserker. I fought many enemies. He runs a hand over his bald head covered in hash marks. And I slew there. But once I raised my mighty hall, I settled down and gave up my life of berserkering. He looks down at a nearby flagon of ale. This, in my day, would not have been a flagon of ale. This would have been a mighty cup full of reindeer and hallucinogenic mushrooms. But I'm too old now, they tell me, to drink reindeer piss and hallucinogenic mushrooms. So instead, I've had to call for heroes. I am a hero. But he waits to see if Boning's brain is going to fire off any other messages. It doesn't. So then, you ask me what is the problem. And I will tell you, our problem is the giant ogre of the wood. I will go and kill the ogre. Well, thank you, Boning. Do you want to know what I am offering? I will go and kill the ogre now. Boning stands up. He picks up his sword table. He stumps out of the hall. Did Reginald? Yes, my lord. Did you actually tell Boning where the ogre is? No. Do you think he's likely to find the ogre? No. So, one of our heroes has just left. So it was seen.
Excellent. So, here is what I am offering. I am offering a bushel of gold, a firkin of mead, and
you can see the guy with the spear wakes up and perks up. I am offering a quarter acre of land. The hall goes silent. And the man with
between
the
spear. Between us or each?
I am offering a quarter acre of land. And the guy with the spear stands up and goes, well, that's fucking shite! 1/4 acre of land for killing an ogre! Are you insane? I'm not risking my life for a quarter acre of bloody land. I want large tracts of land. I want big pieces. Not 1/4 acres. 1/4 acres? But what are you going to do with 1/4 acre? Plant a carrot? Are you mad? I can't believe the lords in this location are. I'm of a mind to go home. I was told you all had land. And whenever you had problems, you'd be like, oh, I'll offer half my kingdom. So far, you bastards have been stingy.
1/4 acre.
He stomps out of the hat.
Mm.
You are left with just you and the magical. So, I believe we have two groups remaining. Your group is called? He gestures in your direction.
The Frost Vikings, my lord.
Ah, yes. Reginald told me you were the Frost Vikings. I didn't think that sounded right.
Yes, my lord.
And you are? I am Twok. The Necromancer. There is not a peal of thunder. He actually does that with his mouth. I see. Well, as you all know, no doubt, ogres are susceptible to frost.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, a necromancer, skilled in the cold of the grave, and a group of people calling themselves the Frost Vikings, and I hope that's not ironic, should be exactly what we need. Are you likely to work together? Twok looks over at you all.
Oh, I was about to say that, obviously. Oh, you mean between Twok and us?
I mean, that was certainly what I was implying. I would prefer to work alone, sort of.
Okay. Sort of?
Yes.
All right, necromancer.
I will happily work alone, sort of. I see. Well, anyway, the ogre is in the ogre castle, which is in the woods. It's big, giant ogre, quite strong, big teeth, big claws, big club, big... Well, basically, he's quite large, this ogre. And if you go and you kill him for us, I will gladly give you a firkin of gold, a bushel of mead, and a quarter acre of land.
What about the cheese?
Oh, yes. Cheese will give you 3 pecks. He seems to be a bit confused about the weights and measurements that he's using. It's almost as if they make no fucking sense whatsoever. Sorry. Mordrigan is being political again.
Would we know what these measures are?
No, of course you fucking wouldn't. No bastard does. Nobody knows how much a peck is. I've just looked it up. It is 2 dry gallons. What the fuck is a dry gallon?
I'm guessing that's like a volumetric measurement rather than a weight management.
I don't
still.
Know!
1 imperial peck is 9.09218 liters.
Oh, even better. 2 pecks is a kenning, which is actually something completely different when you're talking about Vikings. Yes, I'll give you 3 pecks of cheese, 1 firkin of mead, and a bushel of gold. And a quarter acre, I think. I'm not certain if I'm telling you right that's what we're going to go with then. That yes.
Sure. Do you have these things visible so we can be so we can work out what that means?
He goes and he waves over some people, and they start bringing some stuff out, and the cheese, the 2 pecks of cheese, 3 pecks of cheese, sorry.
3 pecks a minute ago.
Yeah, 3 pecks of cheese is basically 3 sacks of cheese.
Okay.
The mead.
It was a firkin, wasn't it?
It was a firkin of mead.
Which is just shy of 41 litres.
Yeah, so there's a big fucking cask rolled out in front of you, and he looks obviously a bit worried when that happens. And then they bring out the fucking bushel of gold, and he's like, now hang on, let's not go mad, because a bushel is 8 gallons. 8 gallons of 8 gallons of gold, and they literally 36.4 liters,
apparently.
Yeah, so they drag out this cut in half giant barrel of gold, and he looks at it like, right, I think we might have mixed some of these up. I think we're going to cross the firkin and the bushel, so you can have a bushel of mead.
Uh-huh.
And a firkin of cheese, and
3 pecks of gold?
You can have a peck of gold, don't get greedy.
Well, I'm just going by the previous measures.
Unless, of course, we were going to have 3 firkins of cheese. There was a 3 in there somewhere.
That's true.
I mean, that's quite a lot of cheese. I'm not sure what you're going to...
But you know what? No, cheaper than gold.
Yes, you're right. So I'm going to give you a quarter peck of gold, a firkin of land. No, wait. I'll give you a quarter peck of gold. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Somebody write this down. I'm going to give you a quarter peck of gold. I'll give you an acre of land.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you a firkin of cheese.
A firkin of cheese?
And 3 bushels of mead.
No, you're right. 3 firkins of cheese.
Rice.
And a bushel of mead.
I'm not
giving you 3 firkins of mead. No. Yes, I think that works out best. Off in the distance, you hear somebody goes, "He's done what? Fucking bastard!"
Oh dear.
Okay. I think that's what we'll go with. And Twok is sitting there, and you can see he's doing maths on his hand. But the most important bit is it's definitely a quarter peck of gold. Quarter peck. Definitely not more than a quarter peck.
But an acre of land.
But a whole acre of land, but a quarter peck of gold.
Okay. We will go and see about... I'm looking sidelong at my companions is like, do we want to do this? Go and see about these ogres? Maybe?
Just the one. We don't have more than one ogre. Yes, indeed. There's only one ogre.
That you know of. Ogres can be sneaky.
Ooh, that's true.
I mean, he's very, very large. I don't
know. But there could be a slightly smaller ogre standing behind him, and you wouldn't know.
Oh, I see.
We need to be prepared for every eventuality.
Yes.
You said they're weak to frost, right?
From what we know, ogres are indeed not a fan of the cold.
Okay.
Which is why we searched for people who we thought could deal with them in that fashion. Hence, both yourselves and Twok. I'm not entirely certain why we got boning. I think just sort of comes as a package deal whenever you need heroes. And the chap with the spear just kind of turned up when he heard about land. I heard that, you fucking bastard!
He did that at the last one as well.
Oh, okay.
Stormed off in a huff when they weren't offering land.
Yes, well, it turns out that we're not offering enough land.
He does seem to be rather picky in that regard. Okay, I guess we will go look. Okay. If we manage to come back with the trophy, we get a quarter peck of gold.
Yes.
1 acre of land.
Yes.
3 firkins of cheese.
Uh-huh.
And 1 bushel of mead.
Yes, I think that's right.
Okay, yes. Just checking.
I tell you what, I give you my word, as Wagner the Raging, that I will in fact give you... what I've just said I'm going to.
Excellent.
Do you?
We should go and reconnoitre.
Do you people realise that you're going to get 102 litres of cheese?
I mean...
It's not like it goes off.
102 litres of cheese. Although,
high in protein.
You are also getting nearly 2 litres of gold, so...
Yeah. It's not like we'll be short on...
I can't remember how much a bushel is. How much was
35 litres.
Okay, you've got the makings of quite a nice dinner there. You could hold a fucking
party. We've got the makings of many nice dinners there.
I mean, it would take me a while to get through 112 litres of cheese. I'm not saying I couldn't, but I am saying it would take me a while.
Well, there's 3 of us.
There is.
So it's only 1 firkin each.
Oh, I mean, that makes all the damn difference, doesn't it? It's only like 33 and a bit, then. Anyway.
I think we should go and look at the castle now.
Well, Twok has already gotten up and is leaving the hall.
Good on him.
As you guys walk to the front, he just sort of waves a hand to him. Hello, I am Twok the Necromancer. Again, it's not an actual... lightning strike, he does that with his mouth. I would just like to say that I admire you for going up against an ogre without very many allies. I will be bringing my own form of allies, and should I find your dead and mangled bodies on the field, I will certainly have you join me. If that's okay.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, it's kind of creepy when you say it like that.
And it's not like you're going to give us a choice, so I'm not sure why you're telling us.
Well, I'm sure if we find your dead and mangled body, we'll put it to use as well.
That's
okay,
a fair
that
point.
Sounds creepy too.
No. She's got a point.
As long as we all understand each other, I'm sure it will be fine. Anyway, are you heading right away?
I think Boning's already gone that way.
Oh, in that case, we can just follow the trail of destruction.
He does seem to be something of a...
blunt force?
Yes, I was trying to think of a good analogy. He's much more of a butter knife than a carving knife.
He's more like a sledgehammer than a slightly pointier hammer. No, that doesn't work.
He's more like a sledgehammer than a carving knife.
Yes, that's what I said earlier. Yes, I totally said that.
Oh dear, he's a revisionist as well.
Well, when you're a necromancer, you can redo things. Well, reanimate things. It's about the same thing. Look, just shut up. Are you going now, or are you going to wait until I've gone? Because if we both go, it's going to be awkward, because we're all going to be walking together, and we're not working together.
Oh, go on. You don't want it to be awkward, then go.
Right, fine, I'm going. And with that, Twok wanders off into the...
You've left your skull behind.
I don't need that one! It is the human skull. The human skull sits there. It turns slightly towards you, looks at you all, and goes, you realise he's a pillock, right?
Oh, yeah, that was obvious from the start.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The whole doing your own thunderclap, it's so gosh.
Well, yeah, you see, you only get the thunderclap once you've reached a particularly high level of elemental evil. And he's not quite that elementally evil yet.
Working towards it, is he?
No, he's doing pretty well, actually. Doing pretty well. Oh, he managed to kick a puppy the other day. Anyway, he's calling. I better roll. And with that, it rolls off after him.
Well, now we've met the brains of the operation.
Does seem that way.
Mm-hmm. So, what's the plan?
I mean, we now have two trails of destruction to follow.
Well,
did someone say
we should have a look first?
I mean...
I did say we should reconnoitre, yes.
The problem is, one of those two trails of destruction... Well, firstly, Twok doesn't seem to be leaving a trail of destruction. He just wandered into...
Digging up bodies left, right, and centre, let's be honest. Trail of destruction.
Boning, unfortunately, has headed towards the river. You get the impression that maybe he hasn't understood the brief?
I get the impression there's a lot he doesn't understand.
Oh, that's true. We did get told where the castle was, didn't we?
Yeah, it's in the woods.
Right, okay.
The woods that are right here. But Boning has headed in the opposite direction toward the river.
Unless he has a river-mounted trebuchet, I think he's gone the wrong way.
I mean, it seems very, very likely.
Can we see the castle from here? Is it one of those, like, squat on the crag with its own little thundercloud thing? Or is it...
I'd like to say yes, but the answer is no. It's much more one of these hide amongst the bigger trees, and then suddenly you come upon it in the darkness. And then there's a lightning strike, and you're like, oh no, we must get undercover. We'll have to go into that ruined castle that's totally not filled with evil. Quick, let's get undercover before we get slightly damp, as opposed to, you know, eviscerated by demons. Or eaten by a giant ogre in this case, obviously.
Well, yes. Oh well, I guess we'll head for the taller trees.
Okay, so what sort of plan do you have for locating the ogre castle?
There will be a bit of forest that is tall enough to hide a castle.
I see.
Because we can't see it right now.
So you're probably either going to cleverly look for the tallest trees or carefully search the forest, is what I'm hearing?
Yes. But it might be better if somebody else did that. Neither of those are terribly good for me.
Anyone taking over the searching?
I mean, I'm not very good at careful, so...
How about clever?
No, I'm on the same level of that. They're both plus one.
Well, Bolo could certainly have a look and see whether she could figure out where a good place to put such a castle would be.
Well, in that case, I guess you're making this roll.
Hmm. So, cleverly trying to establish where a castle could go.
Mm-hmm.
That is a plus two.
A total of plus two?
Yes.
That's not a very good roll, is it, Mola?
I got minus one on the dice.
Ouch. So, you start wandering around in the woods, and you try to find where there might be a castle. So, you actually tied the difficulty as opposed to succeeding it. So, I'm going to introduce a bit of a twist. You start looking around for the castle, and at first you see a big stand of trees, and you wander over to them, and it turns out they are a short stand of trees on a big hill. And then, a bit later on, you see some big trees. And then you get closer to those big trees, and it turns out that they are indeed big trees, but they are big trees on either side of a river, and there's no castle in that river. And then you see some big trees, and you find out that it's actually the same short trees on a big hill that you saw earlier, although now the big hill has been very badly dug up, and you're not sure what that's about. And then a bit later on, you find some big trees, but by this point it's getting a little bit dim, and you realise that these big trees are indeed big trees, but there isn't a castle in them. And then by the time you find the big trees that seem to actually have an ogre's castle in it, it is actually nighttime. The ogre's castle is in a clearing within the big trees. But it's very easy to see now it's dark, because it seems to be very well lit from inside. It's built on ogre scale, so the door is very large, and it's got these big bow slits all around the walls. And those bow slits are giving out quite an orange glow, as it were.
Oh, did we get our thunder crash when we first saw it?
You haven't yet. You don't think reality has noticed that you've seen it yet. Around the outside, there are like palisades of spiked trees planted in the ground in concentric rings. There's like walkways. Obviously, all of these are ogre-sized, and there does seem to be a moat. Also, all over the place outside in these prepared defences are like braziers full of charcoal. None of them are lit. They're all over the place.
I wonder what those could be for. Well, we found it, and we found no bears along the way.
It noticed when you started talking. Please, continue.
No bears.
So far.
I'll give you that.
I guess the question now becomes, can we sneak in? Get an idea of whether this creature is actually here, or...
That sounds like a cunning plan.
A sneaky plan, you mean?
You want to skirt the edges and have a look?
Yeah,
I'll watch here in case there are bears.
I can have a quick run around and see if there's anything obvious to start off with.
Okay. Right. Well, in that case, go ahead and make me a sneaky check.
Sneaky. Clicky. Ooh, plus one on the dice. And my sneaky is plus two.
Okay. You start making your way through the concentric rings of palisades. Bear with me a second. I gotta make a roll. Okay. After the first sort of concentric ring, you realise that, oh, there's traps here, as you spot a tripwire that would have released a large boulder it's not exactly a very well-hidden trap. There's basically a large boulder above where an opening in the palisades is, and if you trip the tripwire, the boulder would have fallen. It takes you maybe 10 minutes to wander your way through the palisades, and you get up to the front door of the ogre's castle. And I'm going to send you a picture, because it makes my life easier to send it to you all now. There we go. I know, right? Mordrigan did maps again. I should point out, for those of you at home, this is nowhere near as detailed as the map for Isverisi. But anyway, you get up to the outside of the keep, the castle. You
take a quick reconnoiter round on the ground floor, and you realise that there is only one door in and out, which is... do you want to try and climb up to one of those windows and get a look in?
Climbing. What would climbing come under?
I don't know. How are you intending to do it? Are you going to quickly climb up? Are you going to forcefully climb? Although I don't...
I would probably be trying to be quick because I want to be able to do this and get out again before I'm noticed.
Fair enough. Make me a quick check.
Minus one on the dice, plus three for quick. So two.
Two, you say. Okay. You scuttle up the wall as quick as you can and look in through one of the bow slots. You can see a vaguely oval room, a big table down the middle, sized for ogres. There's nothing set up on it yet, but it's definitely been set out just in case, like, ogre friends come over to visit. Sitting on a throne at the end is an absolutely enormous ogre. He's easily 40 foot tall, very large claws, very large teeth, got a giant club next to him. And the reason why it was glowing orange from within is because there must be approximately 20 of these charcoal braziers laid about the place and on. It's unbelievably warm in there. As you look in through the window, the ogre looks at you.
Well, I'm buggering off quick then.
Okay, you drop back down out of the window. You hear from inside. You head back to your friends. What are you doing?
Okay, so first thing to know, there's traps. Second thing to know, he almost certainly knows we're coming. Third thing to know, he seems really apathetic about the whole thing. He just sort of sighed.
Do you think there was some sort of coded message hidden in that sigh?
Not really, but there are like 20 braziers about inside the castle, so I think he has a bit of a delicate constitution.
Well, they don't like cold, so I guess it makes
and
sense
yet
that he wants to be cold.
Living in a cold area. Anyway.
Well, maybe he can't afford housing anywhere else. You know, it's expensive.
He has a giant castle.
Well, yeah, but it's a
with multi-layered
buyer's market right now.
Yeah, I suppose. Get more than a gold for this. Anyway, I think, we could definitely get rid of the braziers, get things on our side, and then throw frost at him? I mean, if they're that sensitive to it, could be a slam dunk for you.
We could. Or we could come up with something a little more cunning. He knows that we're coming. Surely he's prepared for something like that.
I mean, given the variety of results of people being magical that I've seen over time, I'm not sure you can ever be quite prepared for magic. Oh, but I did manage to climb up to the windows, so that means there are windows if we want to get up high and do pot shots.
Now, that's an interesting suggestion.
He has a big club, but I don't know if it's easy for him to reach, you know, like, window height with it.
Do you have any thoughts, Rolf?
I mean, none of this is really fitting my area of expertise, I'll be honest. I mean, we could try something, like, really dramatic. Not sure what, though.
How heavy do those braziers look?
They are scaled for ogres.
That's a shame.
They're pretty big.
Yeah.
How well stabilized do they look?
They are on tripods. So,
okay,
stable-ish.
Are we talking bare minimum radius tripods, or are we talking like
someone
has had these fall over?
They're really big. No, they're big. They're heavy, but at the same time, yeah, the circle that's holding all the charcoal is the circle of the feet. It's
okay,
not
so we might
like
be able to talk.
Ogres are known for their engineering, and I guess if you really wanted to shoulder barge an entire thing. Burning hot coals to see if you could knock it over in an enclosed space with an angry ogre, I'd probably let you.
Yeah, it's distracting.
I mean, being on fire is distracting, you're right. So anyway, what are you all doing?
Well, the wizard seems to be thinking. So, I'm waiting for the result of that.
Perhaps we should just go in and see what happens.
We could plan, or we could do what we normally do, which is fucking wing it.
I mean, that does, you know, work out better. generally.
It's worked for us in the past.
It has. And heck,
it
if
seems,
we don't
it seems.
Have a plan, people can't deviate from the plan.
Mm.
Okay, so you
which,
make your way through the traps.
That's the perennial problem we have, yes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And you make your way to the doorway. Now, on the map, you'll see those dotted lines. They are areas, and obviously the table is its own area, but you'd have to either go over or under it. So, you reach the front door.
I mean, is it open? Is it closed?
It's closed. It's definitely closed.
Oh, not raised in the barn, then. Big and heavy, isn't it?
Sorry, what did you say, Archive?
Oh, I was just saying to Lars, I suggest you do something, otherwise I will knock.
I'm going to see if it's a push door.
It is indeed a push door. You lean upon the door, and there is a...
See? Good creak on the door. Guy knows how to do a good castle.
As the door opens, and inside at the far end, you see a giant ogre holding a giant club sat on a seat. You are also smacked in the face with the sheer amount of heat in this room. Oh my god, it is warm. The ogre stands. Well, it seems like some heroes have come to kill you. That would be the second lot today, and I wonder if they'll fare better than the previous one. He throws a sword with a table on it across the room towards you. It clatters along the ground and comes to a stop.
Oh, even in death, he never managed to get it out of the table.
He was quite a good main course. Very me. So, are we doing this, fuckos?
Yeah, I think we are.
I mean, 3 firkins of cheese. Yep.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, yeah. 3 fucking firkins of cheese. Right. So, with your interesting new battle cry, well, for 3 firkins of cheese, you launch into combat. Who's going first?
I was hoping for an opening salvo of frostbolts, but hey.
I mean, I guess that's an option.
You literally have the enemy weakness on tap.
In a very hot room, but sure.
Mm-hmm. Go on then. You bring your hands up. You begin to summon frost and you hurl it towards the enemy.
Okay. That is a total of 2.
You failed hit the ogre. So actually what happens is you will get a +1 forward on him. Oh, it's not a +1. You get a boost. So yeah, you will get a boost on him. You fling frost magic out towards him. Bolts of razor-sharp ice erupt from your hand and travel over the table and straight towards his face. Unfortunately, by the time they get there, they have very much melted, and you sort of lightly wash him. He scrabbles at his face and is like, what are you doing? He will then take his action. He stomps from the throne, past the books, past the treasure, and ends up standing above you as he rushes very quickly to close the distance. I want to crush you. Who's next?
I'm a stabbing.
That seems fair. You
and I'm quick at that.
Yeah, yeah. You want to be quick with that? He's gonna. He's carefully planned his attack, so that's what he's. Where the hell did that die go?
I'm going to spend a fate point to invoke drumroll stabbing.
Fair enough.
Which gets me a +2. So that gives me, between that and my quick, that's +5. And I get a +1 on the dice for +6.
Okay, yeah, you do Stabbo. Pretty well. You launch yourself at basically knee height to this 40-foot tall ogre. And yeah, there's stubbity stub stub 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 stubbity stub stub stubbity stub stub stubbity stub 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 Stabbity stab stab. Yeah, you get the idea. He's going to take his number two consequence of slightly stabbed knee. He just sort of watches you for quite some time and then just goes, "Are you done yet?"
But he has taken a
consequence.
Not.
He has taken a consequence. Which I believe leaves us with you.
Yeah, okay, so...
He's closed the distance with you. He's now in the area directly in front of the doorway.
Right. I'm going to sort of try and skirt around the side by the treasure pile.
Okay. You move over to the treasure.
And I'm going to try and see if I can cause the pile to slide and take out some of the braziers.
Okay. I'll allow it. Please go ahead and make me... How are you going to do that? You're being sneaky, I'm guessing?
I'd say that, you know, causing a landslide of gold and jewels and stuff requires some force, so I'd say that's more forceful, really. Okay. I mean, I can't really be sneaky. He can see me.
I'll allow it.
Okay, cool. Right, let me just roll the dice. It just ends up being a straight two. I got nothing on the dice.
Okay, yeah, you sort of stir the treasure around, and you knock most of the braziers in this particular area down. The temperature of the room has not dropped in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, so we are now at the top of the round. Which PC wants to go first?
I will go first with more stabbing.
Stabbity stab sub 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 stabbity. Make your roll.
It's only a plus two.
Total of two, did you?
Yeah.
Well, you still managed to stab him up. Oh, remember, you've got a free tag on slightly stabbed knee, so you could make that a four.
Oh, in that case, I'll do that.
Okay. Well, in that case, yeah, it definitely hurts him. You're still stabbing his leg. He seems to get quite cross with you and attempts to horribly murder you by smashing you with his clawed hand rather than his big club.
I mean, that seems fair.
Now, that is rather of him. What do you... You can roll some form of defense, and if so, tell me what you do.
It will be quick. I only get a plus one out of it because I've got a minus two on the fucking dice.
So, he will deal you four shifts of damage.
Oops. So I will take two and mark my two consequence.
The ogre's claws come down and rake across the front of you, slashing you up a bit, giving you a consequence of something you're about to tell me.
Because my four consequence is currently viciously nibbled by a wave of trolls.
Oh, no, you will have healed that.
Oh, okay. But yes, I will. I will still do two and two.
Yep. He viciously slashes you with his claws and then says, "See? How do you like it, you tiny bastard?" So, who's up next?
Well, currently... He's moved over to where we are.
Yes, he's right there.
Which means he is closer than the braziers are.
I mean, there are braziers in this area with you.
But fewer of them between me and him.
Yes, true.
How big is this ogre?
40 foot tall. He's fucking massive.
Golly. Okay.
He's a giant, powerful ogre. That's his high concept.
Huh. In which case, this must be a very big door.
It is a big door. It's a very, very big door.
I will point out we've left it open, so all of his heating is going to waste.
It's true.
I like this. We're going to ruin him.
I mean, with the current energy crisis, he will probably bankrupt very quickly.
Exactly. This is how we beat the ogres.
Anyway, yes. So, what are you doing?
Frosty magic early, frosty magic often is a good motto. So I think maybe sticking with that.
Fair enough. You try and frost magic the ogre.
My dice hate me today.
Mm-hmm.
I have a grand total of one.
You actually also have a free boost, remember? So that makes you a two. However, he also got a 2 in his defense, so you go back to having a boost on him. Unless you want to spend one of your fate points to tag Frosty Magic early, Frosty Magic often.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. You go ahead and tag Frosty Magic early, Frosty Magic open often, and he tags his remarkably well-prepared as he dives beside one of his braziers. So you still only end up with plus one boost, but you don't lose a fate point because you've paid one to me. Oh, no, you do lose a fate point because your fate points join you at the end of the round, at the end of the combat, don't they? So,
do they?
Yes.
We've got the rule book.
Yes.
Tell us.
Yes. Well, certainly that's how it works in Fate Core, and fuck it, it makes sense.
Okay.
So you haven't really lost that fate point because it's going to come right back to you at the end of the combat. And you forced him to spend one of his. So as you bring your hand up to send a sheet of ice and shards towards him, he dives to the side, picks up a brazier and hurls the hot coals in the direction of your magic, scattering your magic and making him slightly moist. He's now a giant, slightly moist ogre. At this point, I think we come to you, Hulf.
Okay. Right, so I've managed to knock over some of the braziers.
Yep, in the treasure area.
In the treasure area, using the treasure. Right. I'm now going to move around, and I'm going to try... So, the books, how are they on a bookshelf?
They are. It is indeed a bookshelf. It is an ogre-sized bookshelf, and these are ogre-sized books.
Okay. I'm going to try and knock the bookshelf over, thus causing it to fall and knock over some other braziers.
Okay. This seems quite forceful.
Yeah, I think that's that really, yeah. I can't argue really anything other than forceful for that, so. Yeah, plus 2 in forceful, that's okay. A total of 3.
Okie dokie. Well, here's what happens. You do indeed knock the books down onto all the braziers. I have a question for you, Horolf.
Oh no.
How flammable are books?
I mean, they're books that were in a ruined castle, so they've probably been exposed to the elements, so they're kind of like a bit mouldy and moist and not very flammable.
I would also point out, are the books closed or open?
I mean, he's just toppled the books and the bookshelf onto like 4 or 5 braziers, so I don't think that really matters. You topple it over, and yeah, the braziers go everywhere, coals everywhere, books everywhere, wooden shelves everywhere, and you stand there proud of what you've done. You've knocked over more of the braziers. And then something awful happens in that there is now, rather than a book area, there is now what I have titled a Raging Inferno area.
Oh. Oh dear.
That area is very warm indeed, and on fire now. The ogre sort of looks over and goes, "You bastard, those were my books!" Who's next?
I think that's all of us. I think we're back to the top of the round.
In which case, who's first?
I mean, it seems to be working, so stab.
Fair enough. Stabbity stab stab stabbity stab stab stabbity stab stab.
Oh, I am going to spend another fate point to involve while stabbing because I need the extra plus 2. Actually, I can use it for a reroll, can't I?
You can indeed, and it might be worth it if you've rolled poorly.
Oh, minus 1 to plus 2. So, yes. So that's plus 2 on the dice, plus 3 for quick, 5.
Okay. Yeah, he does get stabbed badly in the knee again. This time he takes you... He tries to angle himself away, but you stab him in the knee a couple of times, and he seems just very unhappy with it, basically. Ow! You stabbed me in the goddamn knee! He's going to respond. Rather than claw you with his mighty claws...
Oh.
He's going to try and use his big club on you.
Oh no, not the big club.
Yes, he is going to tag a giant, powerful ogre. So he uses up one of his fate points, which will come to you at the end of this and re-roll. Uh-huh. Okay,
What's your defense at?
My defense, I will probably be trying to quickly dodge. So, 3.
Aha! He hits you. You take one shift of damage.
Hooray.
And you go flying into a raging inferno.
Less good.
As he sort of winds up the big club and then just goes, Polk! Hole in one!
Hey, Bola.
Yeah?
You're alone in front of a giant ogre.
I'm not sure I like this situation.
No.
Maybe I shouldn't be here.
Maybe you shouldn't.
I might leave the room.
The whole place?
Well, it's very warm in here, and outside is far frostier.
Fair enough.
So better suited to my favoured conditions.
Okay.
So if he follows me, he's coming into my zone now. And if he doesn't, well, then I'm not standing in front of a giant ogre.
Okay. You leave the room.
Dive back out through the front door.
Yep.
Maybe, can I try and throw some more magic at him on the way out?
You can definitely try. You can definitely try and do that thing as you
leave.
Yeah,
it's not going well so far, but I will certainly try as I leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 5.
Okay, that's pretty
apparently
good.
My dice approve of me leaving.
It's a 6, actually, because you got a plus 1.
Fighting times.
Yeah, that's not great for him. He did manage a pretty good defense, but sadly it's not quite good enough. So he has a choice between filling his 4 box or taking a level 4 consequence, which is pretty cold. You hurl a sheet of magic at him as you dive out of the door into the welcoming coldness of the night. The ogre staggers back going, "Oh, me nipples!" as he staggers over in the direction of a brazier, trying to warm his chest quickly before he succumbs to the icy grip of frostbite. Oof.
Where is this brazier situated?
Which brazier?
The brazier he is currently using to heal his nipples.
It's in the door area.
Right. I'm going to slide down the table on my knees in full bard fashion. And try and knock various things on the table along with me as a sort of tidal wave of stuff to knock the brazier over so that he cannot heal his nipples.
Well, you can try and do that, certainly, but you're going to need to make me a quick roll because you're trying to move 2 zones.
Fair, okay.
And then do something.
Okay, so I will make a quick roll.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes to a total of 2.
So you leap onto the table and slide along the table and end up right next to the giant ogre. And you're going to attempt to take down the braziers as you go to him. So you can make a forceful check. Bear in mind, he's currently using this one, so it will be defended.
Okay. I'm going to spend a fate point to re-roll that.
There.
That was much better. That's a total of 4.
You fail to knock the brazier over as he grabs it off the ground as he sees your feet heading directly towards it. No! Fuck off!
Fuck you, asshole.
So we're back to the top of the round. Who would like to go first?
Can I extricate myself from the fire, please?
Yes, you absolutely can. Which direction would you like to go in? Throne, table, or treasure?
Table, please.
Okay, you're now standing on the table.
And
what would you like to do?
So you said the fate point comes to me when...
At the end of the combat.
Ends? Not yet.
No, sadly
okay.
not.
Okay. So I am under the table.
Oh, you're under the table. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Can I get to the end of the table with the ogre at it?
You can get to the end of the table. If you want to get all the way up to the ogre, you're going to have to make a quick roll.
I'll wait until the next round.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At this point, the ogre is going to do something. And what the ogre is going to do is see you below him, hoof. He looks outside where Ola has gone, and he looks down at you, and he just reaches out and he pushes the door shut, hefts his club, winds up, and attempts to fire you into the raging inferno. Probably not. Make me a defense, blooded.
Okay.
Get in the bin. Well, the fire.
Which stat?
What stat do you want to defend with?
I'm going to make this as cool looking as possible. So
sounds a flashy. Bit flashy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a total of 3.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to get a +1 on you, but you managed to avoid getting exploderated.
Ooh.
The massive club comes flying down through the air, and you do a Legolas-style leap over it as it passes through the area where you were. You land in a 3-point stance, because why the fuck not? You did it with Flashy. Well, fuck! You're a bouncy little bastard, aren't you?
Lars has done something, so it's either Hoof or Bola.
Have you got anything? I mean, Bola's going to try to push open the door just a little bit.
You sort
and
of,
see if you can, like, stick a hand in and magic.
You entirely can just stick a hand around the door and magic something. Feel free to do exactly that thing. You that get a +1, remember.
Okay, with the +1, that's a total of 5.
Fair enough. Again, you could also tag Pretty Cold to make that a 7. Yeah, because you haven't used that yet. Yeah, he's not happy about that. He's taking more consequences. He's what he's going to do.
And then I'll pull my hand back out again.
So the door opens a tiny crack. A hand comes through, goes, ha! Frost magic! And then just disappears back out the door. Inside, you hear the giant ogre go, ah! My nipples! As he gets frostbitten nipples. Right, Hrolf, I believe you're the last person to go.
Yes, I will pull out my... what are they called?
Moya?
No. The little clacky things.
Maracas.
Castanets?
Yes.
Castanets, that's it. I have a pair of castanets.
As you do.
With a mighty cry, I launch myself at his nipples.
Oh no, you're going to castanet him in the nipples. Fair enough. Yes. That sounds pretty flashy.
I'm going to use a fake point to re-roll that.
Fair.
That's much better. That's a total of 6.
Hey.
Well, you dive up towards him and he almost manages to cover his nipples with both hands, but he's got a club in one hand, so you get one of the two. If you want, you could tag Frostbitten Nipples to upgrade this damage.
Yes, I'll do that.
He is going to fill in his number 4 box, because you get him right on the frostbitten nipple. You're hanging there from one castanet as the ogre goes, oh, me nipple! And then there's a cracking sound as it snaps off and you fall to the floor. Oh! He stumbles for a second. He pushes the door open and he rushes out into the night. Your quarry has escaped you, but for how long? Unfortunately, we've run out of time, so that's where we're going to start for tonight. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed what you've been listening to, where what you've been listening to is an adventure vaguely written by an AI and vaguely produced by just insanity. If you have enjoyed what you've been listening to, then please do feel free to leave us your iTunes, your Podchaser, your Podbean reviews. If you would like to talk to us, you can talk to us at cultoftandice.net or thecultoftandice@gmail.com. You can talk to us also on Twitter @cultoftandice. You can talk to me @Mordrigan. You can talk to her @tgremlin. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.